Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night! And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guest. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
All right, we talk some fiberglass repair, we talk chimney insulation.
We got a guy that has a house by a brewery. We got to figure out how to lock that door so the drunks don't break in.
Yeah, I do some heavy commentary on the keyed both sides deadbolt. We'll get into all that. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there is bundling. So you take your automotive policy and you bundle it up with your homeowner's or your renter's insurance. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to Geico. Geico makes it easy. You get a quote and see just how much you could save when you go to geico.com and get your bundle working. That is geico.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the chosen government to get it on. And welcome to Ace on the House. Ma'am Kroll, that's Stromer over there in parts
get
unknown.
Get you, parts unknown. You know where I am? I'm in beautiful, sunny North Augusta, South Carolina.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right across the river from Augusta, the home of James Brown. Soul legend James Brown. That's right.
Wow. Hardest working man in show business, and we got the right, hardest working podcaster.
That's him,
Stromer. Yeah. I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina, Good Nights Comedy Club. That'll be this Friday, Saturday, tonight, right? Tonight, tomorrow
correct,
night,
tonight.
Or just tonight?
Just tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Already. Yeah. How far are you from me?
I have zero idea. I know none of the Carolinas.
Me neither.
How's your son doing playing ball?
Boy, he's doing great. So he had a game yesterday. They won, and it's literally all the kids from the Nike teams from across the country and every college coach sitting there looking at you. So he's doing really good and killing. Everybody's throwing scholarships at us.
Did he get a dunk in?
Yes, sir. He's Sir Duncanstein.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's doing really, really good. I can't believe it. I just sit there and I marvel at this dude's talent.
Yeah, how many points was he good for?
I think he got 17 yesterday, a couple threes and, some clutch free throws and, really fun to watch, man. But, man, Nike took over this town, like, I think 7, 8, 10 years ago, something like that. And they literally converge on here as the brand representative for all Nike basketball youth market. And it's now, now we have the pro scouts here because the high school college game is becoming now pro game because mm-hmm. college no longer is necessary, not the only game in town. You're starting to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really kind of unusual to see all these dudes show up in Nike shirts and walking around in this town, this small little town.
How many games is he going to play?
10. I'll be here for the next 9-10 days, something like that.
Jesus Christ.
I know, right?
Oh, man. I would say to my parents, hey, could you take me to Shakey's in North Hollywood? And she'd be like, fuck no. Are you kidding?
Make your own damn pizza and grow your own wheat. Fuck, screw you.
But we live in North Hollywood, Papa. Yeah, I know, but we don't live in the Shakey's. We'd have to drive somewhere.
Terrible, isn't it?
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're all doing too much as parents. But you know, I didn't have to pay for this. They pay for the kid.
Well, look, at least, you know, you got a blue chip prospect there. I mean, you got a moneymaker, potential moneymaker on your hands there.
Saving me $500,000 in college fees. I tried it first time with the first guy for 2 years at Michigan, and I was like, that's it, never again. Not doing this.
Too expensive.
Yeah, too expensive. You got to have merit or you're not going.
So he's going to get a free ride somewhere.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And
got a bunch of things.
He's got his pick of the litter, right? I mean, he's going to be looking at programs.
That's it. You know, we walked over to USC a couple of days ago, walked around there, UCLA, Gonzaga, all these schools are showing up. Pretty cool.
Wow. And is he going into his junior year? What?
Yeah, he'll be a junior. Yeah.
Already recruiting.
Crazy, crazy life. And I keep saying to him, get into the trades, man. Forget this basketball thing. You got to learn how to swing a hammer like the old man and Adam, Uncle Adam.
Oh, man. You learn to hang sheetrock, you'll never be out of work.
Yeah.
Ever. All right. We have questions, Matt.
Yes, we do. And as always, we encourage you to email us your questions, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Come on, guys. Don't be shy. Send them our way. Go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see the videos. This first one's a little long, but it's from Jason.
All right. We're going to need a second here, guys. I forgot about the Zoom aspect of this. So just give me a moment.
Okay. All right. No worries.
Looks like we're in his kitchen, living room with the open floor plan. He's got it nicely decorated. Has some vintage flooring in there, although it's probably new, but it's got a nice plank look to it. Kind of flooring look. I don't know if you can see that, Stromer. Kind of looks like a pine type floor.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sure it's not, but it has that sort of pine look with the knots and distressed a little bit. We'll figure it out. Or maybe Matt's got an email or Twitter question or something like that while Gary sorts it out.
Oh, yeah. That looks like the old engineer.
Oh, we got
story.
It. Yeah, we got it now. Here we go.
Ace, Stromer, Jason, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Brand new house, brand new build. First tenants in it. First owners, first peeps. And I got a question about something that you might know the answer to.
Going out quick, the door to the deck, balcony,
where I intended. That is a brewery.
Oh, there's a brewery.
That's where they brew beer. So,
jeez.
Nice.
No lack of beer in this place. But one lack we do have is basic security. This door, no matter what you do, you can push on it. Nothing. You don't even need to turn it. It's as if the catch is
It's not fully engaged in the strike plate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Goes in, but it doesn't quite seat.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Go this way.
That's pretty much it.
All right.
And you know, he's got, look at all that weather stripping. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's why she's not sitting all the way. Pretty is what it is.
Yeah. Although, wait a minute. Just go back for a second, Gary. It looks like someone put a piece of wood under the strike plate, or is that an optical illusion?
I think it's an optical illusion because he says there's enough space, but it just doesn't catch.
Yeah. Okay. So the weather stripping is kind of preventing the door from going in completely and the knob or the strike from being fully engaged or the throw. First things first.
It does look like there's no opening and there's a piece of wood there.
But it isn't. There isn't. It's an optical illusion because he would definitely be able to figure that out. Okay.
All right.
I might think about putting a deadbolt on that door anyway. Seems like somebody could jump up to the balcony on the first floor and get in there. And, you know, that privacy doorknob's not really enough to thwart off would-be thieves. So I might like a deadbolt on that door anyway, right, Stromer?
Yeah, I would also encourage you to realize that that's a glass front door, and really all you have to do is shatter it and reach in and open the door itself. So, you know, to your point, if he at least had a deadbolt, it's a little more time to get into the house with the.
Well, let me give you. I don't think that's the front door, but that's just the balcony door. But you can. All right. So here's something. I think they're illegal in this application from maybe California. Everything's illegal in California. Yeah. I don't know if it's a national thing. Maybe Gary can check on it. A keyed both sides deadbolt. So for those of you who want security but are sort of scared that someone's just going to smash the window and reach in and turn the thumb turn on the deadbolt, or that they're going to climb in the window and take the TV set out the front door, there is such a thing as a keyed both sides deadbolt.
Yeah,
where
that's a good idea.
You key it both sides, and then you take the key and you take it with you. So if somebody breaks into your house, they can't really open the front door and walk out.
Looks like we're good in California.
We are?
Yeah, I'm on the Kwikset website, and I'm on the buy-in store section, and they're listing 8 places in L.A.
Oh, you could, yeah, you can buy them in California. It's a code violation to install it in your front door.
I can check on that.
Does anyone know why it's a code violation, Stromer?
Because the fireman can't get out when the house is burning.
Yeah, well, you can't get out when the house is burning.
That's what I was going to say, by the way.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah, I believe it. Right. Yeah, and so then some people leave the key in it, and they use the key like the thumb turn. But then if you go out of town for a few days, maybe you take the key with you. So there's probably some fire code thing about having that. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But I would put a deadbolt on that door, number one. Number two, now you're getting into the strike plate. You're just, you know, a Smurf's ass hair away from having that door latch. And obviously the copious amounts of weatherproofing or weather stripping that's on the door is preventing you from getting that last 16th of an inch. I'm not a big fan of getting out the Dremel and buzzing on the strike plate, but in this particular instance, I might go that route.
Yeah, because it seems like it needs, to your point, a Smurf. Did you say a Smurf's? Ass hair?
Smurf's ass hair.
Yeah, I would do that. Maybe two Smurf's ass hairs and Dremel it so that, because I think it's going to be a minor adjustment. The only thing you might have to do is chisel out a little bit of the wood also.
Yeah, the wood's probably got enough because they probably put a Forstner bit in there, like a 1-inch Forstner bit.
Now, would you want this gentleman to have a security screen door over the glass door so that at least he can lock that and then doesn't have to mess around with a deadbolt as well?
I'll leave that up to him. I would say put in a deadbolt, possibly a keyed both sides deadbolt. You can figure that one out. And take the Dremel, put the little tungsten bit on there. Yeah, I think a little tungsten kind of, don't do the sandpaper bit. Do like the metal
almost
one.
It's like the cylindrical one that's sort of a triangle.
And just buzz away some of that metal, because you could take the strike plate and move it out an eighth of an inch or something, but you got the existing holes. The screws are going to want to suck back into the existing holes. You know, it's easier to move a strike plate a half an inch than it is to move it an eighth of an inch. Because it's going to want to suck back in the holes, and then there'll be the gap where it's mortised on the front side, and you don't want to get into that.
Now, do you want to see if he could just take out the weather stripping and the thing works?
Yeah, the thing about taking out the weather stripping, sometimes you have a hard time getting it back in.
Yeah, that's right. It is Pennsylvania, so it'll be freezing in the winter.
So, yeah, so I leave. Do. Yeah. I would think about taking my Dremel, putting my little tungsten metal bit on there, and shaving as much. And by the way, shave it for 30 seconds, try to shut it again. Shave it again, try to shut it again. Don't take out too much material. If you take out too much material, then it won't compress against the weather stripping.
And then do you want him to also put a piece of blue tape on that strike plate so that he has a line to try and make the line straight with the Dremel?
Yes.
Right?
It's never going to work out, but yes.
Yes.
I do want to do that. As a matter of fact, shall we take the strike plate off, put a piece of blue tape on it, an eighth back, buzz it out on a bench vise in the garage, and then take a flat file and file it flat, because you're never going to get it flat with that round Dremel bit.
That's 100% true. I like that. That's a good idea.
All right.
So if he doesn't have a bench vise or a Dremel, it's going to cost less to get those two items for your own personal use than to hire somebody to do this.
He's in Mechanicsburg, for Christ's sake, Stromer.
God. Oh, yeah, that's true. He can fall, you know, throw it out the window.
The condo comes with a bench vise and a Dremel. All right, let me hit NordVPN, public Wi-Fi, man. It's a hotbed for hackers. They steal your data. Using NordVPN on your phone or laptop gives you peace of mind while traveling, right, Gary? I know you have some experience with this.
Yeah, man, it's great. It's you really can't be messing around on public Wi-Fi, so you got to use something like NordVPN to keep yourself safe. And then there's also fun byproducts, so you can set your location to a different country and get a whole new Netflix, you know, set of movies.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that angle.
It's good stuff.
VPNs have a reputation for slowing down internet speed, but not with NordVPN. It's the fastest VPN in the world. You won't even notice it's running. Put NordVPN on up to 6 devices, by the way, so you can do your tablets and your laptop and your phone and all of that good stuff. 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to NordVPN.com/ACE or use the code ACE to get a 2-year plan plus a bonus gift with a huge discount. All right, what else you got there, man?
Well, we got ourselves another video, a little bit on the long side. It's from our fan, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We're outside on his
Ace Man Stromer
patio.
All right, so deck. I've got a little doghouse here on the back of my, outside of my living room. This is the direct vent for a propane fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
We bought the house last October.
Got a chimney.
And we were just getting tons of drafts through the fireplace. The gas to the fireplace is shut off, so there was no pilot light lit or anything. But I covered with this aluminum bubble wrap stuff just to hopefully stop some of those drafts, but it did nothing.
Did nothing.
Huh.
So here under the deck, up here, there was some aluminum soffit. And directly under the soffit was just this bat insulation, two pieces stuffed in there.
He's outside the basement.
You can see the under giant the deck. Hole that was cut through for the gas line to come through. So that's going directly into the basement ceiling. So nothing sealed there. Any bit of air that could get around this soffit material was going just straight up. And you can see, just go straight into the firebox and straight out the vents. And we had some single-digit temperatures this winter, and so we were getting that blast of cold air coming in. It was quite miserable. You can see the doghouse has no insulation in it whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it was obviously not air-sealed.
Yeah.
There wasn't even any plywood or anything up here. It was just the aluminum soffit material. So I'm just looking for suggestions on sealing around this stuff. Is it the great stuff expanding foam okay for that? Do I need to use anything fire rated for that? I know I probably will need fire rated around that exhaust pipe. And then should I insulate inside of this? I can pull the siding off the outside and pull the sheathing off. I just didn't know the best way to insulate from that point. And that does go all the way up to the roof line.
All right. Let's.
Oh, so here, it's like a faux. It's like a faux.
Yeah,
it's like a faux chimney, right?
Yeah. So expanding foam is good. I believe they have fire rated expanding foam. Does that sound familiar, Stromer?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think you would even have to have it fire rated because it's nowhere near the heat port. I mean, there's no heat being emitted from this unit.
Well, it's right? it's a gas, it's a propane fired fireplace, I guess.
Right. But I mean, the box is so far from this hole that I don't think the fire rated matters, but sure, you could look for it.
I would use expanding foam on the hole.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't need to be fire rated. There's a hole that's on the actual box itself where it looks like the gas line comes in. For that, I would use metal tape.
Right.
You're not going to get a ton of insulation out of that, but you'll stop the opening and the draft.
Fire block foam. Yeah.
There's fire block foam. It's $11 and they make it. I might as well get that anyway.
Don't you want to build like frame in with a piece of plywood with insulation above it, that faux fireplace? Because that's really where all the cold's coming from. Even if you insulate the underside of this overhang, it's the above portion that's going to really be the insulation problem, right?
Yeah, what I guess. I mean, I could only see what I saw in the video, so I don't, you know, I'm not
it
on
just looks,
site.
It just looks like a large, you know, a 12-foot tube, you know, what looks like a framing of an exterior fake fireplace shaft.
Yeah, I would say get some expanding foam, get the fire retardant type. By the way, once you bust the hymen on that expanding foam, use the whole can. You're not going to put that thing in the garage and use it in 3 years. It just dries up. It gets all funky and weird. I would just empty the can into the space. You know what I mean? Yeah. You might as well. Once you open it, it's open. You got to use it all. That's right. My experience with expanding foam. I would get expanding foam. I would get metal tape, easily purchased anywhere, and just tape off the hole on the firebox. And I guess I would use bats of insulation inside there. I don't know, Gary, what the code is about bats of fiberglass insulation against a firebox.
What about that rigid, you know, polystyrene stuff? That probably doesn't burn.
Well, the rigid polystyrene stuff you could just put against the outer wall.
Right.
And that you could then have a gap between the firebox and the rigid stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's
I would consider that.
I'm finding
well.
A fiberglass product that is specifically built for going around fireplaces.
Oh, okay. So are they bats of like, you know, R19 or R13 or something like that?
The pictures show that they're rolls, so I'm assuming yes, but they're
rolls.
A little limited.
All right.
But those boxes are never hotter than, you know, a warm stovetop with a pilot light going. It's like there's no heat coming from them.
I don't know if you got a full fire going in there, what's going on in that box. I would get the fire-rated foam, the fire-rated insulation bats, and I would get the metal tape, and I would just go at it that way.
And then the other thing, too, is contact a fireplace store in your town and ask them, you know, can I put insulation above this in the faux chimney, or is there some code that requires that there's air circulation somehow? But I don't think there is in that situation because the thing was blocked off at the top. Also, it was just a fake cylinder, basically.
Agreed. All right. Phone calls, emails, videos.
How about a Twitter question?
How about a Twitter question?
You could follow us on Twitter at Ace on the House, and you'll know when we're taking phone calls. And you can also send us a picture like Yuri did. And he's asking, Did I tile too far past the window trim? Should I cut vertically at the trim and remove the tiles? If you guys want to describe the pick.
It's a pick of tile, and he did like a wainscoting. Up. He did the floor. He did the wall. He went around the tub. It all looks...
Hold on, guys. We've done this already.
We did this one?
Yeah. So Matt, you may have to like...
I'm pretty sure, Stromer, you may have replied to him on Twitter.
Yeah.
I've never done this on the show.
I don't think we did it on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, you just did it. You know, you had a couple glasses of wine and replied on Twitter. But I've never I've never seen this before.
Okay, roger that.
All right. So the trim goes around the window, and it looks like they want to put a toilet in there.
And no, that's going to be a vanity.
A vanity. Yeah, because it got hot and cold. Yeah. So he just doesn't like the look, right?
I think he thinks that it was the wrong place to end or terminate the full nose edging.
Yeah. Wouldn't you just keep going down that wall and just dive into the next wall?
Yes, I would. Instead of spending the money on the tile behind the vanity, I would install the vanity and then just go up above as a backsplash and terminate it at the end of the counter on the left side.
So you're going to have to,
But do you find it odd that you're going to be looking into a window where your vanity is without a mirror?
Does seem weird, but maybe your neighbor could slide the window open and say, "Hi, guy,"
and just pantomime your expressions while you're shaving.
Yeah, I mean, all right, maybe the bathroom's a little funky town. I don't know what to do about the window. I show me the picture again, Gary. I kind of agree.
Everything's wrong. Everything's wrong.
What if you? I don't even know what that window is. What if you popped off the casing and the sill and just covered the window with a mirror?
Yeah.
What would that do to your tile? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be fine. You would just then you would do the same wainscot height to the left of the window future mirror and run it into the far wall.
Or you could, yeah. I mean, if you want to do the wainscoting tile, you got to pop off the bullnose and continue it. There's maybe a world where you pop off the casing around the window and go over the window and do full mirror on that wall.
Correct.
Maybe that'll clean it up. I actually, if this guy's handy with the computer, I think I would simulate that on the computer and see what it looked like. Now, going over windows is a little weird. I will grant you that. But from the outside, you know, it won't look like anything, basically. Or you could even just take some little curtains and bury it in there and then go over it. Seems weird to have the window right above the vanity. I don't know. I'm thoroughly confused.
Everything's wrong.
Everything is wrong, but it might be right again if we pop the casing and entomb the window and just mirrored the whole wall.
But I'm very reticent to remove ventilation and air from a bathroom ever. Mm. So if he does, I don't want him to do the window covering scenario because he's going to go crazy with no ventilation. There's only that little ceiling fan that's not going to be enough.
Well, I've definitely trying to think, but I got a bathroom in my office that doesn't have a window. It's got a fart fan. It works okay. I think you could do it with the right CFM fart fan or vent fan in there. But yeah, I agree with Stromer that I wouldn't get rid of the window until I kind of worked out my ventilation situation and if that thing had a vent fan in it or not. But I might step up. I will tell you this, people, if you are going to step up to a vent fan, step up to a vent fan with a heater. element in it. I've done that. You flick that heater on the winter days. You let it get that hot air blowing from up above. Kick that thing on 10 minutes before you step into the shower. When you step out, you just feel like toasty, warm air coming down.
Oh, God. Kind of sounds like a therapy session.
It is.
Physical therapy.
It's
come
like
on.
Being hugged by a thousand angels. All right. Let me tell you about JB Weld. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. Pros have trusted it for over 50 years. But why hire a pro when JB Weld makes you look like one? Nah, they're a proud sponsor of the show. We love these guys. I know the owner personally. Met him in Vegas. Like I said, very organic. Just wandered into the JB Weld booth. DIY projects, auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more. Use it on metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics, and keep it in your kitchen drawer with your craft supplies or out in the garage. I fixed Sonny's shoe with this. I fixed Natalia's little weird face roller thing. I don't even know what those things are called. You put them in the freezer and you roll your face out. The handle busted.
Wait, why does she roll her face out? Oh, to get rid of wrinkles.
Yeah, she's 15.
She's so old.
Sake.
Yeah.
Stromer's used it in his tile saw, obviously. JB Weld just acquired Herculiner. That's the original DIY truck bed liner. So they got you covered. It's JB Weld, right, man?
JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
All right. More questions, more tweets.
Yep, we're going to keep it coming on the Twitter line. We got another one here from Aaron. It says, I have an exterior door that needs a damper. I can only find auto close devices. Any products or ideas of a device to mock up?
Exterior door that needs a damper.
You mean where the mechanical hinge makes the thing close less abruptly?
I'm trying to think of what a damper means as it pertains to exterior door. Now, she says she can find pneumatic door closers. Was that what she didn't say pneumatic, but
quick correction. It's a male Aaron. Just
male
FYI.
Aaron.
And I said they can only find auto close devices.
Hmm. I don't know, Gary, if you put in door closing dampener.
What you come up with is the new that stuff, like what we have.
Pneumatic closer.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Well, as I've said and famously demonstrated on the air in real time.
One of the better episodes we've ever done.
That's right. Is you can put that pneumatic closer on your door. You can adjust it and you can get it to a sweet spot where it closes on its own and then, you know, sucks in tight at the end. That's from what I know of this question, that's about all I got for you. I mean, just for anyone listening, they have spring-loaded hinges. The spring-loaded hinges, you put one of those in. Sometimes you put two of them in, and you actually rack them like you ratchet them like a trebuchet. You pull the thing back like a catapult, and you ratchet it, and then you lock it in with a pin. And the more tension you ratchet it with, I think you use an Allen wrench at the top. You ratchet it back, get the spring tension, put the locking pin in. That'll close your door. That won't stop your door gently when it gets to the end. That'll slam your door, but that'll do it. Then there's the pneumatic closer, which is, you know, bigger device and more expensive, and that'll gently close your door if it's dialed in and adjusted periodically. But that's all I got for the dampener.
Stronger. Yeah, and I mean, I guess you can adjust those pneumatic closers to lightly close the door also, so it would have sort of that effect and not slam them.
Yeah,
remember we helped that guy with his condo door where it would just slam, and he was trying to make it close less loudly.
Yeah,
so that does work if you adjust it correctly.
Yeah, you. Theoretically, when you get those pneumatic closers adjusted correctly, if you swung the door open and let it go, it would move briskly for the first 7/8 of the sweep, and then the last bit it would slow down and just quietly come to rest. That's kind of right. How you want to do it. And like we've said, just a slight turn of a slot head screw will adjust it dramatically. All right, Matt, any other tweets, emails, questions out there?
Yeah, we got another Twitter question, and this one says, hey, guys, I made a cabinet that's going to hang in a high school pool area.
Ooh.
I put two coats of exterior paint on it, but I thought a couple weeks ago Adam said something about putting lacquer or polyurethane over paint to help protect it. Can you elaborate?
I did it for more of the effect. If you're going to paint furniture, and I've painted my fair share of furniture, or paint a floor. I've painted many wooden floors, as you know, discussed on previous episodes. You put a couple of coats of the clear Varathane over it, and it really gives it some depth. You know, it can look like painting furniture, I don't know, can look a little chalky sometimes or a little one-dimensional. Put the clear over it and get some depth out of it. So I wouldn't necessarily do it for protection in this application, because the exterior paint, things hanging on the wall, hope he went with a French cleat. Point is that's all fine. It's not exposed to the elements or anything, but the clear, that gives it a nice depth. And I wouldn't spray it on. They make a spray version, you know, they make a rattle can version of this, but I'd weenie roller it on. Stromer, thoughts?
Yeah, and when you weenie roller, it is so thick and viscous that it'll just like find its own level and smoothness. So yeah, that works great.
Yeah.
And also beware, ultimately those do yellow and amber quite a bit. So just make sure that you're okay with that tone when it starts to show up in a few years.
Yeah, if you keep that stuff out of the sun and it has an, you know, interior application, I think it should be fine. When you put it out in the sun, when it gets exposed, you know, people want to do their garage door with that stuff, and it looks killer the first day, and then, you know, 9 months later, it starts
orange.
To amber and orange.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, sort of scale, kind of gets fish skinny.
Right.
It's tough on an exterior application. If I was doing an exterior application, I would step up and go with a serious marine, probably two-part system. All right, we got one more.
Yes, we do. One more Twitter question from Kevin. Hey, Ace Man, PVC fence post got a hole in it from a storm. Post base has a patio next to it, so digging it up and replacing is out of the question. Any patch/bondo or out-of-the-box ideas to make it not look like shit? Hashtag good on you, man.
Mm. Well, it's paint grade. We know that, right? I would do a fiberglass type repair on it if I was him. I don't know if it's got the fake wood grain, because if it's got the fake wood grain, then you have to kind of simulate that, right? What do you, in general, I just go get a fiberglass kit. Kit'll come with the resin. It'll come with the catalyst. It might come with a couple of those little spread paddles and some fiberglass cloth, you know, cut it out, just basically paste it on there. Don't it's gonna drip if you make it too thin. It'll definitely want to drip down, you know.
It's pretty easy to work with. You know, I helped my kid patch a surfboard. You just literally cut the sheet with a scissor, you do a primary first coat, lay the stuff on there, and then a second coat over the top of the fiberglass weave.
Yeah.
And then you can actually even sand it if it doesn't end up looking that great after the fact, you know, and get it to be nice and smooth. And then I think you're going to have to prime and paint it as well to try and match whatever you have.
Yeah. And when you sand it, you know, you have to build it up enough so you have a little material to sand.
You'll start getting into the weave of the cloth stuff.
Don't get into the weave of the cloth. You're going to look like Joe Biden's head. You want to away from you want to stay away from that look. You want to build up the resin and the catalyst there a little bit. Sand it. Use a sanding block. I think some people do hand sanding. It's uneven. You know what I mean? Yeah. Get a block on there. You may want to put a little blue tape along the bottom and even a little drip edge, like a little piece of cardboard or something, because it is going to want to run down the post.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have a big, long drip going all the way down the post that you have to deal with. So I think I would take a little blue tape. I would put it on there and I would curl it up or something. So it is a little drip tray.
Little professional ledge, if you will.
A little ledge. Let it dry, sand it. You can do a second coat if you want. I wouldn't go too big and too heavy on the first coat because it's just going to want to drip. The first one is, you know, put some of the resin on, cut the cloth out, put the cloth on, kind of impregnate the cloth with the resin, and then skim over the cloth, and then make sure it's taut. It's not, dipping into the hole, and just let it dry overnight. Then you can come back the next night and go with the second coat, build it up a little, and then sand it. Yeah. Obviously, if the post has, you know, a faux wood grain or something, then you're going to have to get creative with your sandpaper and try to carve in, you know, try to continue the vein of the faux wood up into the patch area. But it's all
pretty
doable.
they also sell those they're almost like combs that simulate wood grains.
Right.
You could pull those through almost like a, you know, like a comb to get the wood grain vibe.
Yeah, we've talked about that in the past. All right, Stromer, you got Geico over there?
Heck yeah. Listen, question, boys and girls, do you own or do you rent your home? Well, sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Well, bundling policies with Geico. Now, Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com. Get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's G-E-I-C-O, geico.com.
All right. Tonight, you can find me in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you can find Stromer in
Augusta, South Carolina. It's the Battle of the Carolinas.
That's right. Good Nights Comedy Club. Come on out and say hi. We'll hang out, talk some home improvement after the show if you like.
Yeah.
I got Minneapolis coming. I got Solana Beach out here. Royal Oak, Michigan, Kansas City, Chicago. I'm all over the country. So go to AdamCarolla.com. And if you want to watch some really cool car-related vids and some of our offerings that we've done for free, some of our docs, you can check it out. You can check out our chassis channel on Pluto TV, channel 687. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. There's a free stand-up there. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer. Sam, mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.